reading, shut that off, Ben. I don't want to phone it here. Reading from the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, the Madhya Lila, 1, text 110. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Nityananda. Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chanda Jaya Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Jaya Dvaita Chanda Jaya Gaur. Chatur Masya Tanha Prabhu Sri Vaishnava Sase. Ganaila Nitya Gita Krishna Sankirtane. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu passed the Chatur Masya months with the Sri Vaishnavas, singing, chanting the holy name, and dancing. Om Jnana Timurandasya Ganantana Salakaya Chaksurun Mulatam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Shayam Rupa Samayam Dadati Sapadantikam Adadanaschanam Dante Idam Yache Puna Puna Shumad Rupa Padamboja Duhitam Janma Janmani Vairagya Yug Bhakti Vasantayatnai Apayalam Manabipsamandam Kipambuhiya Paradhuka Dugi Sanatanastam Prabhumasayami Pancha Kalpa Tarubhyasya Kripa Sindhu Bhayevacha Anam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Nama. So greetings from Edison, New Jersey. I'm at the home of one of our family of our regular listeners, Govardhan Bhakti and their family. And before they take their own pilgrimage to Sridhar Mayapur, they've asked me to visit their house. So we're on our own pilgrimage. One time a sadhu told me, because I had to leave India, sometimes so many legal problems there. I remember I had to leave India. I got a quit India notice from the India government. Wasn't sure if I was going to come back again. And I was lamenting separation. That separation and union. But I know I may have to leave and I may never come back by Krishna's grace, somehow only his grace and only the grace of Srila Prabhupada, I was able to return. Let's see, somehow forgot my point here, but hopefully the So I met one sadhu. Vrindavan is filled with sadhus. And he told me, somehow or other, if you see other and you pray to the Jamuna in Vrindavan, the Jamuna in Vrindavan will accept your prayer. So Prabhupada also talked about the mental cultivation of Krishna consciousness. Even one time said, if the children take the side of Krishna, we can think of Krishna and the cowherd boys taking prasadam or different things like that. The mental culture of Krishna consciousness. So we're not on the pilgrimage, Prabhupada, the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. We can follow that pilgrimage. Being in the Dham, the holy Dham, is the impetus for Krishna consciousness, the spiritual potency there, and especially the sadhus who visit the Dham. We can also get access to the Dham. But the focus of Krishna consciousness is the mind. Better to be here and thinking of there, but then be there and thinking of here. Best is to be there and thinking of there. So this is the mercy, and we can actually think, we can follow Lord Chaitanya in his various travels. And so wonderful after he took sannyas. I'm not going to go over the whole thing, but, you know, he wound up in Puri. And then from Puri, he continued on South India. And then in his travels to South India, which was basically for spreading the holy name of Krishna. For the Yuga Dharma. Jivadoy. Krishnanam Sarva Dharma Sa, the essence of all religion, is to show compassion to the conditioned souls by giving them the holy name. Because when you have the pure, to actually have that compassion to give the holy name, you have to taste it. This is Prabhupada's teaching, tasting and distributing. You have to do both. You have to take the phone off or something. It takes such concentration. Tasting and distributing. Okay. Both are needed. Because compassion means to see another in distress. And what is the distress? It's the stress is they're separated from Krishna. So unless you're feeling that's a distress, the separation of Krishna. And you can't have separation without attachment. Compassion in preaching actually begins with your ability to taste Krishna consciousness and feel the mercy. You want to distribute the mercy, you have to feel the mercy. So actually, they're both connected. By actually the mercy, you can also begin to feel the mercy. So there's some relation. The Chaitanya who set the example, he went to South India on the pretext of finding his brother Vishrut, because he had to give a very good excuse to the devotees in Puri because they were so attached to him. So he had to give a very, very good excuse to those in Puri because he was so attached to them. So we're following him, and we've come to this very, very wonderful pastime. We've come to this very wonderful pastime where he's in Rangakshetra, the big temple in India, and he meets this wonderful Brahmin. And we mentioned that point before, that verse. I can mention it. It's such a wonderful point by Jiva Goswami. Dharmasya yapavargasya. Dharmasya. That dharma is meant for liberation. And Jiva Goswami says, apavargasya. That real liberation means Krishna consciousness. Muktir hidva yata rupam sarupena vivastita. In the Bhagavatam, one of the nine ten matters is liberation. And what is it? Muktir hidva yata rupam. You give up yata rupam. You give up those forms or conceptions that are anartha or have no wealth, their value, they're not in relationship to Krishna. That's the goal. Sarupena vivastita, and you become situated in your own sarup, your own eternal form. Anyway, I forgot my point here. Somehow the concentration today is not what I want. Anyway, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is... I got it now. So apavargasya, this weekend, is devotion, and dharma or religion is meant for liberation, which means it's ultimately meant to become just the connection between one ashram and becoming a throaty. Jiva Goswami actually quotes in the Bhagavatam, I should have looked up the verse, that if you're a pious soul and your house is open to sadhu, then maybe a real devotee will come to your house. And if a real devotee comes to your house, then your culture, etiquette, and von ashram will lead to liberation. Such a wonderful culture. And as I'm traveling around and I'm visiting houses of people who make it their business to open their house to the devotees, that is their strongest desire. And then they get the association of good. And I've seen it, it's actually a fact. No matter where someone lives, even though it doesn't appear to be central, but somehow or other, if they open their house to devotees and they sincerely are praying for the devotees to come, they let it know that that's their desire, then somehow or other the devotees come. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to the house of Venkata Bhatt, who begged him to stay for 4 months. And I believe in the Chaitanya, in his travels, how special it must have become to come to Ranga Kshetra. Why? Because every day says it's 3 days, it's 3 days, it's 3 days, it's 3 days, it's 3 days. But here he stayed, the only place he stayed for 4 months. So how strong must have been the desire of Venkata Bhatt for the association of pure devotees, what to speak of the Supreme Lord come. What is the benefit of that? The benefit of that is that his brother, he became a great devotee. He was a great devotee, but he advanced even further in his conceptions. His brother became Prabodhananda Saraswati, one of the great Vaishnava Acharyas, who wrote Vrindavan Mahimamrita. And his son became one of the six Goswamis. And very significant, if your children can become pure devotees, very significant, then so much benefit is there for the family. Actually, I just came visiting my mother who lives in this area. And I'm just saying, I'm not a devotee. Whatever activity, whatever devotion I've done, I see how much she benefits from that. Even she came in 1982. Her and my father actually came to Sri Vrindavan Dham. And somehow or other, you know, remember it affectionately. So how wonderful. I always tell that about the benefit of the lineage of becoming a devotee. What is the benefit? There was a nice sadhu. His name was Fakir Mohan. And he had these deities from Bhaktivinoda's ancestral village, Radhamadhava. He was very, very attached to those deities. And he would keep them on the altar in the Krishna Balaram Mandir, because he thought, oh, want the international devotees to see those deities. And he was very old, like in his 75, 80, and he was a brahmachari, but somehow his guru sent him outside to study, and he got his PhD. He became the head of one Sanskrit school. He was Sangeetacharya, a very, very humble soul. He wouldn't even want to step on your shoe. Even when if you were talking to him and the sun was on your back and a shadow came towards him, he would start to move to the side. He wouldn't even want to actually step. So I remember one of my places I stay in Vrindavan, I saw him walking on the street. He's Iranian. He said, I was looking for, Parthasarthi Prabhu, one of my godbrothers. Very advanced Vaishnav, very deep in Krishna consciousness, and it's great fortune if any of you could ever meet him. He's so deep in Krishna consciousness. So this person, he's very old. He's old enough to be our father, my father, means in his 80s something. He was looking for part of, I want to get his association. So he said, do you know where this place is? I know it is. He said, come, let's go. So we go, and he offers to pay his respects to Parthasarthi Prabhu, who is very that. And then we ask him to sing in Aryan this song about, called Mangala Gita. It's a very, about the feelings of Srimati Radharani when Akura is taking, and he's singing it. And then my friend says, in a very, very humble way, he says, I have to go. My parents are here. My mother is here. You know, in the Hare Krishna movement, how in the early days we neglected parents. But somehow or other, they've come to visit me. My sister, when she was very young, she's come to visit me, and my aunt and my brother. And I remember, oh, so we said, yeah. So he said, I'm sorry, but I cannot stay. He said, I will, Takamoto, I also want to see. Let me see. Yes, yes, I will come, I will come. And then, you know, Bhartasarthi, his father was in the RAF, the Royal Air Force, you know, that type of family from Oxford. So his mother comes out, curly gray hair, dignified lady. Come, and this old scholar, this old devotee, he pays his obeisances fully. The mother's looking around. Oh, my God. How? And then the brother comes out. He just hands this to the brother. He's old. Oh, my God, you know, kind of British accent, pays obeisances to him. And Parthasarathi is so embarrassed. This is all going to be connected to the story when the end comes. And he was so embarrassed. And then when he got up, he said, you know, he said, Mother, this person, nice to Machari. It means he's never had any connection with any intimate connection with him in his life, so like a celibate. And he's a Sangeet Achari, he's singing, and he's the chairman of the Department of Sanskrit in Kali University, the biggest university in India. And then this old man looks at the mother and he said, actually, this is our culture. And then he says, no, not our culture. He said, we feel it. Not our culture. He said, we feel it. Oh, I pray to feel that way. Because Krishna consciousness is all about the change of the heart. I was just recently with Niranjan Swami, you know, and he always shares his sentiments about chanting. He was reading this new book called Encounters with Divinity, by Prabhupada's godbrother, Bhakti Rakshaka, Srila Bhakti Rakshaka Sridhar Maharaj. And he was counting how inspired he was by just one statement, where the chanting is to make yourself empty. Your chanting is making yourself empty of your prestige, your ambitions, your desires. And because the negative will attract the positive. This is Trinada Peace and Ichena Karora. And I was sharing that with me. I can see that wasn't something he was theoretically saying. That was something he was putting in his life. Because when someone actually lives something, when he speaks it, it had so much potency. And I was actually stayed overnight with them, and I was just thinking, it really affected me the next morning. I got up early, walked to chant, just by the association of a devotee who was trying to empty his heart and desires. He's trying to, you can stay 10 more minutes, I'll wait. I'll let you know. It's okay. But you were right to say this is the time. A person, they're going to be much, so they have to leave from the class, but they're so attentive and smiling that, it was so nice just being, but, you know, I mean, I know that he's chanting several hours a day in this mood. Let me create the negative. Let me create and attract the positive. So this is the Vaishnav culture. This is the Chaitanya Charitamrita. This is actually the character of immortality. That's the character. The life force in immortality. And we're seeing that. Venkata Bhatta, great piece. And then we finish the pastime. And the particular class that I'm giving, it's especially, these are only sutras. So in one class, I'm doing a whole chapter that late coming later on. But, in the verses that come about this exchange between Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Venkata Bhatta, somehow I have to speak more about that because it's so significant, because the very essence of the Krishna conscious philosophy is being presented. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is traveling. We're learning so many things. We're getting some bandhagyan, spiritual discriminatory knowledge, which will help us to make the right choices to serve Krishna. Our decisions now determine our fate. And if you hear in the proper way, from the proper source, with faith, is everybody still on? Oh, someone's calling you, so there's a buzz, that's all. No, obviously I'm not going to answer it, but... okay. Can someone say Hare Krishna? So I... Okay, everyone's still hearing. Very good. Okay. Discriminatory knowledge. And when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, just by his life, will always make it, and I described before, as you advance in spiritual life, the distinctions you have to make become more and more subtle. But they're just as crucial. Because if you make the wrong decision, even sincerely make the wrong decision, you waste time. You waste time, and we want to head on a path back to Godhead that is straight as possible. Because I think everyone here who's listening could understand, as Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, that this world is no place for a gentleman. as Jai Advaita Maharaj once gave a one-line class in Mayapur, all he said was, this temporary material world is full of suffering. Take shelter of the holy name of Krishna as your only business. Nam Ashraya, taking shelter of the holy name. And what does that mean? It means the faith that what I am missing that is giving me unhappiness, the incompleteness I am feeling, depression and anxiety I am feeling, the lack I am feeling is because I am lacking love for Krishna who manifests in the holy name. I'm lacking Krishna. That's what we're lacking. And what is Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur said? There's no shortage of anything in this world but Krishna consciousness. You have Krishna, you have everything. And Krishna appears in the holy name. You can lose every... Narendra Maharaj, Srila Narendra Maharaj, was also explaining that. His feelings that, you know, so many things you can lose. Don't have the holy name. It's right there on the tip of your tongue. He's always there for you. Anyway, what an introduction. It took the whole class. I'm going to continue and say something more. And I should say also that somehow or other, due to unavoidable circumstance, I was late. I came to just an hour before, settle in. I just sped here, parked the car, ran inside, and got on the phone. Now, this story, and I'm assuming that most of the people on the line have heard me speak about this for the last few weeks. It's very significant. Why? Because what is the essence of our whole philosophy? Our essence is that Krishna is the Swayam Bhagavan. Now, that means he is the original personality of Godhead. But English words are not exact. I think we need the concept. Original means what? God at that absolute reality, which is eternal, because all the manifestations are existing eternally. Although in the Brahma and Heat, it meant one candle lights another, Krishna is first. But in that realm of eternal existence, They're all existing. It means Krishna means original means what? Manifestation. So why is this? So this pastime is actually pointing that out and giving discrimination to those who read it, which you need that discrimination, that the fullest manifestation of the absolute reality is Sri Krishna and not Narayan, although they're the same Sarup, the same person. In fact, I've been in touch with Madhavananda. I'm using services. There's a lot of calls at this time, but I will just ignore them. Madhavananda Farissa, who writes that Krishna Karnam, because a part is coming up where Lord Chaitanya, that Lord Chaitanya, he would visit a place called Alarnath or Alalanath outside of Puri. So I asked him, because it's going to come up in our studies here, because Lord Chaitanya was very attached to that place. And in fact, he had so much ecstasy in that place. He had so much ecstasy in that place. See now, okay, maybe someone, 1 second. Maybe it's not. I'm actually on a conference call now of my class. You want to come over? I don't know. Call me at 12, okay? Okay, thanks. Let me just shut my cell phone. Because usually I'm using my cell phone. Okay, where was I at? Go ahead. What was the last name?
Alana.
Lala. Oh, yeah, okay, thank you. It's okay. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was in so much ecstasy at this place that his whole body melted the stone in the heat of separation, although it's a Narayan deity. So there's a whole explanation. I won't say that right now, but in the article that I got, it described that one of the reasons why Lord Chaitanya was so heavy with Mukunda, and just see the subtlety, because we know he rejected Mukunda, at least it said in this article, it had something to do with him accepting the Raya beyond Krishna, or something with the four-handed form, the Supreme. So this is so an essential thing, because Swayam Bhagavan, Ekacham Sakala Pumsa, Krishna's two Bhagavans. Krishna is the original personality of Godhead. So here's the moral of the story, because we see that the goddess Lakshmi and Vankata Bhatt is a Sri Vaishnava, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is so much appreciating his devotion. In fact, at the end of the whole story, he from the Narada Pancharatna just to show that the distinctions he's making is on a very, very higher level. It's not a condemning distinction. He does not want to reduce his appreciation of someone with that level of devotion. And he quotes from the Narada Pancharatna that when a jewel known as the Vadurya touches various other materials, it appears separated into different colors. And its a form also appears differently. Similarly, due to the meditation of ecstasy of the devotee, the Lord, who is known as Achyuta, appears in different forms, although he's essentially one. So actually, the supreme absolute reality, and he relates to the ecstasy of the devotee. And therefore, that's the whole point of this story, that when the ecstasy and devotion is fullest and most intimate, then that absolute reality reveals themselves fully. And that is Krishna. And that full manifestation is Swayam Bhagavan. Therefore, and the more that absolute reality reveals themselves, then the more attractive. And therefore, the most attractive feature of the absolute reality, which is Sri Krishna, is the full revelation. This showed that even the goddess Lakshmi was attracted. But in the discussion, she couldn't enter into the rasa dance because she didn't have the full meditational ecstasy, which also requires the particular conception. And in other words, why couldn't Lakshmi enter the rasa dance? Because she kept the abhiman, or the conception in the body that I am Lakshmi. And that conception, which is mixed with reverence and puts the Lord distance and as the Supreme Lord, and has some obligation and duty in the relationship, doesn't inspire the full revelation of the absolute reality as Sri Krishna. And therefore, she couldn't enter. While the Shrutichari's, and it was explained, the personified Vedas, worship in the mood of those who have that intimate love, and therefore eventually attained a body to practice Krishna consciousness in the form of the devotees with the most intimate. This is very, very high subject matter. And then finally, at the end of the story, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, to explain his point, how the Supreme Personality of Godhead attracts the mind of the goddess of fortune, because he's all attractive, but Narayan could not attract the mind of the gopis. When Krishna left the rasa dance, and the gopis went to find him, then Krishna tried to hide himself by manifesting a forehead. And the feelings of the gopis were crippled because it wasn't the full manifestation of the absolute reality whom they had a relationship with. So they saw the four-handed form of Narayan. Their ecstasy wasn't there. It's not their Lord, the manifestation of the Lord for their devotional ecstasy. And they say, you see Krishna. Srimati Radharani came, who has the full capacity. She's the Mahabhav Sarup, Krishna Prema, to the highest degree is Mahabhav, and she is Mahabhav Sarup. She's the full manifestation of the most intimate attachment and love. Then Krishna, and he couldn't maintain that form. So we finished that story. I'm so a little bit high subject matter, and I'll just continue a little bit on the journey of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I have a lot to meditate on, but we'll go on. Chaturmasya ante puna dakshina gamana paramananda purisha dahaninivana. After the end of Chaturmasya, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued traveling throughout South India. At that time, he met Paramananda Purisha. So just a line, he met Paramananda Puri. And who is Paramananda Puri? Paramananda Puri was the godbrother of his spiritual master, Madhavendra Puri. And when he met him and he spent some time with him, I think it was at Vrishabha Puri, something to do with Lord Vrishabhadeva, he felt so much attraction to the devotee. It is my desire to stay with you. When you meet the devotee, that desire comes in your heart. He said, it is my desire to stay with you. And he said, I'm going to Puri. He said, yes, I will also go to Puri. I will meet you. Because this is the essence of Krishna consciousness. The Paramaguhyam, the topmost secret that is mentioned, the Paramaguhyam, or the topmost secret mentioned by the paramaguhyam, or the topmost secret that is mentioned by Krishna to Uddhava, is that there's no other way to get me, not by mantras, not by fast, not by, but only by sadhu sangha. Why? Because sadhu has Krishna. Why does sadhu have Krishna? Because sadhu loves Krishna. And Krishna as a person reciprocates in love. And someone who is a exalted person, he, by impetus, he reciprocates in love. That's his, that's the nature of his attainment, his exaltedness, his reciprocation in love. So the Supreme Personality reciprocates in love. He is forced to. The Supreme Lord becomes arrested in his heart. That's the word in the second verse of the Srimad Bhagavatam. That he becomes arrested. He's forced of love. That's his exalted nature because he's a person. So if you want Krishna, you have to go to the devotee who loves Krishna. And therefore, that is the person you want to be with. And if you want to advance in spiritual life, you have to seek that person, their sangha. You have to get their association. And that's the tracks that bhakti moves on, sadhu sangha. That's our real sangha. We chant and we pray for sadhu sangha. Those who love Krishna, those who have Krishna, and those, therefore, who can give Krishna. So when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu meets Paramananda Puri at Rishabh Hill, just associating with the associate of Madhavendra Puri, who took the association of Madhavendra Puri, and therefore had Krishna by the association of Madhavendra Puri. And therefore, who loved Madhavendra Puri? He said, oh, it is my desire to stay with you. This desire has come into our heart. This is who we should want to be with, the Vaishnavas. It is my desire to stay with you. And then, after that, well, one more verse at his tour. Kabi bata hari hoita Krishna dasera udhara. Rama japi vipramukhe Krishna nam pachar. After this, Krishna Das, the servant of Lord Chaitanya, was delivered from the clutches of the bata hari. So, it's not just physical proximity to the sadhu. You have to be desiring and focused on their service. And so here, even the servant of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his personal association became allured. And that's a whole other subject matter that maybe we can discuss. And Chaitanya then preached that Lord Krishna's name should also be chanted by Brahmins who are accustomed to chanting Lord Ram's name. So we will continue some other time on this tour. Then Lord Chaitanya finds the Brahma Samhita. He goes into ecstasy. Siddhanta Shastra Samhita Sama. There is no scripture equal to the Brahma Samhita as far as spiritual conclusions are concerned. Govinda Mahima Janhira Paramakarana. It reveals the topmost knowledge of the absolute truth, the supreme revelation of the glories of Lord Govinda. And it is Sakala Vishnara Shastra Madhye Atisar. And it is essential, the cream among all Vaishnava. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu discovered that. And Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur then translated it. And then he finds Krishna Kanamrita. And these books, they had to be hand copied. Books were so rare. They weren't cheaply produced. You can see how there was a qualification for speaking Vaishnava literature. Qualification. Prabhupada, even in his last days, was saying this is the highest qualification, more than guru, more than GBT, to produce Vaishnava. It's not cheap. It's not that you can go on the internet and put your opinion up without reference to Shastra and without actually knowing Shastra, without actually living Shastra, without realizing Shastra. Maya Sukaya, you see it. For every step advancement, you take two steps back. For example, my disciples were so worried that I would get lost. Because every time they would call me on the phone coming to, I'd be lost driving in my car by myself. Now they surprised me with a GPS. It's actually great. It's really helpful, I have to say that. But one day I was going to Delaware, and I just got it new, and I plugged it in. So it took me on the most direct route, and I wound up by the ocean. I'd take a boat across the water. But I'm seeing. So, top reveals, it's the essential among all Vaishnavas, Brahma Samhita. I was there when Prabhupada introduced the Brahma Samhita to ISKCON. There's one sannyasi, Yasodhanandana Swami, and he was traveling. He took sannyasi when he was 21, traveling. And he found out about these books, and he learned to chant, and he came back to Vrindavan, and Prabhupada said, yes, you should teach that to everyone. That's where the Brahma Samhita came. Okay, we do have time for some questions, but Gail, if you don't, we'll let someone else try first, and then I'll answer your question. Does anyone else have a question besides Gail? Gail, do you have a question?
Of course, Maharaj.
Okay.
I was wondering if you could elaborate in a little more detail.
Yeah.
The way this process works of concerning sadhus, you know, the association of sadhus who love Krishna. How is it exactly that by their association, you know, and you did mention, you know, by their service, our service to them, you know, we also get Krishna.
Right.
And also, also by the association of sadhus, if you could explain how we get access to the Dham, you know, is it totally mystical or, you know, exactly how does that work?
Wow, it's so many questions in one, and each one is like more than a class. I always regret that I don't leave so much time at the end, especially today. I'm on a kind of a bit tight schedule. But the first one is, you know, the sadhus. How do you advance by the association of sadhus? Yeah, I always like to refer to Shastra because that I can say with the most faith. But what is that verse? Oh, Sushu Shru Shadhana Vastudeva Satmatse Vipa Punya Tirpana Shavana. There's a Sushu Shru Shadhana Sushu Shru Shadhana Satmatse Vipa that you advance by, you know, by associating with sadhus. And by that, great service is done, you know, something like by serving the sadhus and things like that. Also, the first, nashta prayeshu abhadreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya. By always serving the Bhagavata, the book Bhagavata and the person Bhagavata. Always. So what does it mean? It means the person Bhagavata lives his life by the book Bhagavata, and the book Bhagavata discusses in Bhagavata, both the Lord and his devotees. But also, just in terms of the mechanics of that type of advancement, this is what I read in one commentary on this verse. I'd have to look it up. Sushushu Sharadhana Sivasudeva Kataha Lushi. It described that when you're with sadhus and you're serving sadhus, you become attracted to them. Why? Because their life is a manifestation of love. And love is attractive. Devotion is attractive. And in that society, then when you become attracted to someone, then you want to know, what is their life like? What are they reading? What is their mood? What is their points? What they think? In other words, what you want is their bhav or their mood. And if you become attracted to someone, then you want their mood, you want their devotion, you want their spirit, and you begin to question them, and you learn about it. You learn about, well, when I'm with the godbrothers that I especially revere, and how that dynamic works, they're just so attractive. And therefore, I'm so eager to hear what they're reading, what they're saying, what they're doing. And then, you know, then that becomes my life. So I'm so eager. I want to stay with them. And I make sacrifices to stay with them, to see them. And, of course, you know, we can, of course, if we have that, we hear from them. What are their realizations? Because if we have faith, then our faith is that what they're saying is what they live. And therefore, there must be some realization to it. How does it look? How is it? And in terms of the Dham, it's mystical. It has a potency. It has a Shakti. I describe when my mother came to the Dham with my father. And that's in 1982. I mean, there was no Western toilets. You can imagine that. There was no, you know, anyways, there was no heat in the buildings. It was middle of the winter. You know, it was a little bit austere for them, but they were kind of somehow or other, or I had already taken them to Bombay and Delhi, and they were already a little bit adventurous. I remember they stayed there. And when I came in the morning to see my mother after the second day, and you know, you probably know these type of people from this type of area, you know. It's an elderly, I was 20, so she was 60, 65, not 61 or 62 then, maybe. And, you know, because she woke up in the middle of the night chanting Hare Krishna, and that's not what she had to do intellectually. The Dham had potency. Prabhupada in his room said, he said, at the end of the life, even a dog goes back to Godhead in Vrindavan. That is the potency of Vrindavan Dham. So it has a potency. And that potency is for the service of Krishna intensely. And therefore, if one has false ego, he finds the Dham a little bit of a place if he stays too long. Because it's not a place to stay with false ego. Because it's nothing about your false ego. It doesn't move for your false ego. And in fact, because it's moving so intensely for the service of Radha and Krishna, it goes against the grain of your false ego. So there's a mystical thing, but at the same sense, everything to realize anything takes perspective. It's how you look at it. And you have to hear from the Shastra. So if you go to the Dham, unless you're under the guidance of the devotee, you won't be able to extract it. You won't be able to know how to look at it. You won't know the process. There's a process of realizing the Dham. Vishyacharya kabe shude habe man kabe hama heba lo shri Dham. When you're free from the desire of sense gratification, the mind becomes peaceful, then you can see Vrindavan. How to do that? It can only come under guidance. You can only come. And it's just like realizing anything. You learn it quicker, you understand it quicker from someone who's experienced in the science. Gail?
Yes.
A Uttama or TK?
TK.
What's that?
PK.
Okay. But go further. That'll take a private discussion. I have to end now because there's different things going on. Mm-hmm. But would any Hare Krishna today?
Hare Krishna.
Who's that?
Gordon.
Gordon. Where are you, Gordon?
I'm on Hunts Lake in a canoe.
You're in Hunts Lake in a canoe. Is that a nice way to listen to a class?
Yes. There's plenty of books and or trees and dragonflies, bees, and birds. Yes, it's a very nice way.
Wow. But it's better on your canoe when you hear the 10th canto with the descriptions of the forest. With the trees bowing down with their red feet, their red flowers at the lotus feet of Krishna, saying that your lotus feet are supreme to, you know, greater than even these beautiful, and they're bowing down, and the birds are chirping in a symphony as Krishna is playing his flute, and the peacocks are dancing and offering their beauty, and the deer are offering the beauty of their, but anyway, it's also peaceful. Thank you. Nice to hear from you. Anybody else like to say Hare Krishna?
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Is that Shastra?
Shastra and Mahari, yeah.
Okay, I'll call you later because I'm going to visit you tomorrow.
Bye.
Okay, thank you. Anybody else like to say Hare Krishna?
Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj.
Who's this?
This is Nitya Seva. Please accept my obeisances.
Nice to hear from you. We should also speak soon. We haven't been in contact. Thank you.
Yes.
Okay. Today, I will call.
Okay.
Hare Krishna. Anybody else like to say Hare Krishna? Anybody else? Okay. Most of the people I know, and I know everyone who's out there somehow. Because, they extend me, then I see there's 20, 25, 30 people. So I know you're all out there. We'll all go. Panchakalpa, Tarubya, Stakapa, Sindhu, Patitaram Pavani, Vilayan.